Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill, here with my favorite worms again, Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Coming to you just a couple minutes early. Want to get in a lot of good discussion here because the gardens are wonderful and the mid-July garden blues, they're over, huh, baby?
Yeah, it's officially over.
All right.
Everything looks fabulous.
Fabulous. We're going to get a report right here. But I want to give the phone numbers because we love when people call in and ask us questions and...
Our comments.
We love it all.
Share information.
Don't be scared. Share it up.
Let's connect 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And boy, just last week we were talking about it being hot and the blues were kind of on and turnaround, right?
Yeah, total switches.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was quick. Yep. And a good thing because we're kind of moving into that fall planting area stage.
Yeah, I saw Scott up on the hill today, and he said, yeah, it's almost like the second spring.
Yeah.
Because you start replanting. My gosh, Lance has a list a mile long.
Yeah. Yes, I've been busy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I went in that bed that I had.
Tell us about the carrots.
Not that bad. Not yet.
I like the
That's a special confessional. All right, stay tuned for that.
So stay tuned for that.
But the bed that some of the garlic was in, I tilled that all in and raked it out, and I planted snow peas in one end, and then I planted my usual planting of lettuce and cilantro and green onions, and I planted finocchio. Then I planted golden beets, Detroit dark red beets, and Chioggia beets. And I still have room for another planting of lettuce, green onions, cilantro, spinach, and then I'll put the China rose daikon radish in. And that will be planted almost the second week of August. And I don't want to plant it now because then it will start to go to seed, and then it gets pithy, and I want it for winter storage. So I'm going to plant it later.
So don't get ahead of yourself too much, but we're in the zone, right?
Yeah, we're in the zone. I planted some more basil thinking that I'm going to take my basil that's been growing all year that looks like a bush. I'm going to take that out and make pesto, and then I'm hoping the new stuff will come up and make my seasoning.
My basil just for drying and seasoning.
Yeah.
And then what I planted, finocchio I also planted, and lettuce, and...
Yeah, finocchio for some people out there, that's bulb fennel.
Lovely. Yeah. That gives your meal a different flavor, doesn't it?
It really does.
That's what I ate for lunch today.
Oh, I just love it.
How did you prepare that?
I just ate it.
Oh, you just...
Straight out.
Chomping and grazing.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then what else did I do? I moved a bunch of my big kale around in the kale garden. I'm calling this spot the kale garden now. Oh, God, I whacked the lovage. That was rewarding.
Yeah, well, you love whacking.
I love whacking. I whacked at that lovage. I was so happy. Oh, my God, it's like the universe opens up because you get rid of all this foliage and it's all falling over and everything.
You can breathe.
You can breathe and... The sprinkler can work. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. Give yourself some room to breathe.
I don't have it on the list, but it just popped in my mind. I've been going through, and any weeds that are going to seed, because I'm still weeding.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Pull them out.
Get them now.
Because if you get them now, you're not going to have weeds for 7 years. That's what you're doing. If you let something go to seed, it's weeding for seven years. That's the old saying.
Something like that. Yeah.
So
that's
keep
enough
on pulling.
To get you going.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Yeah, don't, you know, that's the thing with weeds is just don't let them get ahead of you.
Yeah.
If you can. If you can't, then c'est la vie.
Do your best.
Yeah. Yeah. Whack them.
I love it when you get
chop
a good sprinkle. Yeah, chop and drop. That's your philosophy. I love it too.
Uh-huh. I think wind liked that.
Yeah, wind likes it too. Yeah. Well, you know, it's all about what your garden is doing for you.
That's right.
You know, yours is manicured. Mine is ridiculous manicured. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the other people's not so much. But, man, they all grow, don't they?
They all grow. Yeah. Yep. No, I have a bucket with me or the wheelbarrow when I'm weeding. and it goes straight to the compost.
There you go.
Yep.
Composting all the time. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Oh, you know what I did today? I was thinking about your friend who was educating me about pruning tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I was pruning tomatoes.
Oh, were you?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you use a different method? You're still tried and true?
No, it's the same old method. Mm-hmm. You get all the big leaves, you know, mainly, you get the big main leaves off, and I do it from the bottom up. I let the air in, and then when you take those big leaves off that are starting to look a little funky anyway at this time of year on the bottom, you have a little sucker. You have sucker growth right there where the stem of the leaf hits the main stem of the plant, and you just whack those as well.
Yeah, pinch them off.
Pinch them off.
All right. A lot healthier and happier. Open it up.
Now, would you do that with cherry tomatoes, or is that just with the big guys?
That's a really good question, because the cherry tomatoes keep producing on those little suckers, and they do it really fast.
Yeah.
So I take the suckers off if they haven't already maters on them.
Uh-huh.
And then as you go further up the stem, you just sort of decide, will this, you know, if it's a sucker on the outside and it's got a big head start, I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
Because it's going to produce. Mm-hmm.
It's got enough air, sunlight, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's on the outside of the plant.
Yeah.
You know, the outside of the whole
cage
and everything. So I let those go.
Because
you'll just keep getting thousands of little cherry tomatoes.
Nice.
Yeah. Ugh. I love that. I love those sun gold. They're my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm so amazed at the different, you know, when you grow up, or when I grew up in that back in the day, it was always a red tomato, usually came from City Market or something like that. No, you know, love City Market, but the old tomato. And then as organic food, you know, as we all get back to eating in our gardens and organic food, the colors of tomatoes.
You know, that's a really good point. The whole standard has come up, hasn't it?
Totally.
Yeah. There's so much
more. In every way.
Yeah, in every way. In every vegetable. The whole thing has come up. I think that's real encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
You know, really encouraging.
There's lots of different varieties. You know, you'll find a few you like.
Yep.
And people are digging it. They're loving their gardens. And we want to hear from you. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Stuff that you are planting is coming up pretty fast.
Oh, instant.
Yeah.
Instant.
Germination factor, instant.
Yeah. The pinto beans, 6 days, which is what I was expecting. That's what I've seen over the years, you know, when I harvest either right after I either follow the garlic with the pinto beans or the grain. And this was right after the oats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pinto beans up. Lulu, you had your blue kale. Well, what's going on with that kale? You mentioned earlier you were moving it around.
Oh, yeah,
what does that mean?
Well, I have two different kinds of kale, and I have this one garden that used to get a lot of sun, doesn't get quite as much now, and the soil in there is really bad, and I've been working on it hard for years. It's super, super clayey, but I put my kale in there this year, and then after I whacked the lovage, now all of a sudden all this light's getting in there. And I moved them around so they have more space, and I put in a bunch of soil amendment. And now they're super happy, and they're all coming up. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's the big kale. And then the small kale, the dwarf blue kale, I think that was maybe 4 days.
Wow.
Nice.
To germination. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the next round of snow peas are coming up nicely. And
oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
And you've got the snap peas. What do you have?
Pulled out the potato onions, harvested those, and those are drying. And then I planted Amish snap, like the next day. Just planted
it,
and I put the trellis up, and I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're good to go.
Oh, just
good.
Water.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's a nice thing for the end of the year.
Snow peas. And the snap peas will do better in the heat. The snow peas will kick in when it cools off. But they're there.
But they're there, right. And in my garden, where I have so much shade, I have to push. I have to go a little earlier. I can't. I don't have the luxury of waiting until it really cools off.
Yeah.
And it cools off back there so nicely anyway. So,
just a little bit of a different timing, right?
They're up.
Wow, great.
They bounced right up.
Yeah, well, the daikons, the white daikons, and the round black Spanish radish.
And
the kohlrabi came up in 4 days.
Yeah. The arugula was
so
up in two.
Wow.
2 days.
2 days. It was a record rapid breaker. Grower. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it came up so fast that, you know how it is with arugula. I mean, well, it is for me anyway, because I have my own seeds.
My arugula.
Well, no, because I save my own seeds, right? Mm-hmm. So I have them in this big, you know, bottle, and I just, you know, threw them in the row. Well, I was a little overzealous. And they came up so fast. They were so squished together, they all just sort of fell over.
Yeah. The kale was like that.
Yeah. So I just picked them out and said good luck. And, of course, now they're fine, you know. Mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. you got to love arugula.
You do have to love
it. You just can't screw it up. You just can't.
Do you make pesto with that?
Oh, God, yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I still have some pesto from last year.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
But I'm out of arugula, so I still have just sorrel and the sun golds. I did sun gold and Genovese basil.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Yummy.
That was a score. But this year it's going to be different. I think it's just going to be basil because the tomatoes aren't ready and the basil has to go and the new basil isn't going to get ready. You know,
they'll change it on up.
Yeah,
you know, you love doing that.
And it's like you said, I think of recipes.
Yeah. You know, right, when you're out there.
When I'm out there, I'm like, So it'll just be different. You know, you just work something else out.
Yeah,
that's right. Work it on out. Mm-hmm. Hey, 527-486-81866, KVNF Now, here to take your call live on the radio.
Yeah, don't be scared, you guys. We love it when you call, and we you know, try to stump the chump. We love that. Ooh, what about tomatoes? You never do. Never mind. No. Lance doesn't grow them. Mine got a little bit of the blossom end rot. Where they get the black spot on the bottom.
The calcium imbalance.
Oh, that's calcium imbalance, gypsum. Huh?
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. It can be that, but it also can just be water.
Too much. Well, come on, uneven watering.
Uneven
watering. Yeah.
Calcium magnesium imbalance, and there's CalMag, that thing that you can buy.
Yeah, you know that is so hard too. When you start getting into those balances, yikes.
So. You got to maybe do a soil test.
I
never worry about it. Some years I have blossom end rot because I do have like 6 or 7 plants. And this year, there's none.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's like Lulu. You just kind of work the soil. You added an amendment. And
I think it,
it helped.
Well, you know, but it is. When you start talking about all the calciums, magnesiums, and, you know, in Lance's garden, he's got a huge big bed he can work. And mine... You know, I have that. Mm-hmm. I have blossom end rot on one plant, so we're talking about, you know, maybe 2-3 square feet,
right?
Yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, whatever. You know, I'm pretty sure it's water.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna give it a little pop of, you know, fertilizer, you know, and let it figure itself out.
And this is another thing that I've been hearing about tomatoes, is you're not supposed to overhead water. They're being sprinkled this year.
You know what?
Oh.
In my garden, they're being sprinkled, and they're 3.5 feet tall, beautiful color, and blooming like mad and setting fruit.
Yeah, don't give me, right? So give me
passing no fertilizer. Out this information, huh?
Okay. My garden is totally overhead sprinkled, and my plants are probably, they're more than 5 feet, that's for sure, because they're taller than me already. And, you know, so, and they get sprinkled and I think they like it.
Yeah. Well, they're from the tropics.
Yeah.
That's where tomatoes are from.
That's where they came from.
Mm-hmm. So it's a hot, humid climate. And we're in a high, dry climate, so a little bit of water on us. Probably.
I think they like it too.
I think they like it. And I'm going to switch my sprinklers so that they start watering at night.
Oh.
Because the ditches, we got to notice the ditches, the call on the rivers a lot. So our water coming down the pipe is a little less. So.
Oh, okay.
So I'll start watering at night. It's more efficient anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, there you go.
Good deal. Hey, lots of critters out there. We need a critter report.
There you go.
Well, the toads are having a wonderful time.
Oh, toads. Lovely.
Lovely time out
Such
there.
Such a great sign of a healthy garden, I think.
Yeah, and then I have the frogs, both those leopard frogs.
The big green ones?
The big green ones. And then there's the little peepers that are pop out of the ground because I've been digging and rebuilding beds.
Yeah.
Great. Those guys are popping out of the ground. I didn't even know they were there.
I get those too. And there's no water source near me. And I have a toad in my garden that's God's own toad. It's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
And it's eluded the cats all this time.
Those
so that's
whip-tailed cool. lizards.
Oh, I don't have those.
Yeah. And they're really fast. You can't get near them. And they have stripes down the back.
Right.
And they're just really, really fast. And they're running all over the place.
All over the place right now. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All those guys are so good for your garden.
Oh, and snakes.
Nice. I don't have snakes.
Well, you got kitty cats, right?
That's my problem. But my cats like to eat grasshoppers, so that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they hunt them down.
It sounds like there's some feasting that could happen in your yard, huh?
Not so bad. No.
You saw a giant hopper.
Oh,
hopper
my
report.
God. Burp,
burp.
Rant, rant. Okay. So I saw this grasshopper. I got scared. I mean, it was the biggest grasshopper I have ever seen in my entire life. I'm telling you, if it was an inch, it was 3 inches long. How big is that?
That's at least 3 inches.
It was huge.
Maybe more.
I mean, I went to catch it, and I got scared. I thought, if this guy bites me, it's going to hurt. Because you can get bit.
Get your BB gun out.
No, right? Yeah, there you go. No, because when they bite, they do hurt. They can give you they pinch, but, you know, it's no big deal. But I got nervous.
Yeah.
You know? And then
he got
away.
Frightening looking, for sure.
And then I looked for him. I was looking for him. I couldn't find him. But he was huge. And it inspired me to remember this little fun fact that the Rocky Mountain locust is the only, and this is from 2001, so maybe it's changed by now, but the Rocky Mountain locust is the only agricultural insect in the history of the world that has gone extinct.
Wow.
I heard that from Whitney Crenshaw when I was in one of his classes back in the day.
He being a bug authority.
Yeah, he's the guy that wrote these books.
Oh, Pest of the West. Yeah, great resource.
And, yeah, and, you know, he's like this major bug guy, and he's so fun. And he gives these great talks.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So
the only insect in agricultural, in the history of the world, the only agricultural insect.
Wow.
Now, how do they figure that out, you know? I mean, how do you figure out that, right, that every one of these rascals in Colorado is dead?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Lita is on the line from over there in Red Vale. Hi, Lita. Oh.
Is she there?
I think Jeff's got
a
malfunction going on there. And we'll get right to Lita. Hopefully he's taking care of that.
Back.
But yeah. Oh, okay. Lita, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Oh, good evening.
Oh, good evening. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
We're fabulous. Yeah.
As usual.
As usual.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if either Lance or Lulu, if you guys grow any trees with nuts, any almond trees or anything.
Yeah, I grow almonds.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, so would they grow in my area, Red Vale?
Can you grow peaches?
I can grow apricots.
Yeah, wherever you can grow peaches, you can grow apricots.
You can grow a nut.
Nut. Yeah. So what? There is the Hall's Hardy almond, and the only problem with that is that the nut inside the shell is really hard.
Oh.
But you can grow that there. You might... look up some of the, if you look up in the nursery trade and look up almonds, they're all based off the nonpareil. And if they say bloom time and it'll say plus 5 days, that's 5 days after the nonpareil. And harvest time, they'll say minus 6 days. That's 6 days out. So you got to sort of know the nonpareil is the standard California almond.
Okay.
Okay, and so that's how you have to sort of adjust it, you know.
Are there any other nuts that you can grow?
You can grow, if you have deep soil, you can try, you definitely could do black walnuts.
Definitely.
Yeah, you could try a English walnut, which is actually the Persian walnut. You just got to find the right variety. Is there any in the backyards of people's places?
Do you know of any nut trees around?
Well, I thought that one guy nearby was going to, years and years ago, was going to try almonds, but I haven't followed up on that. Do I need two almond trees to do that?
Not with the Hall's Hardy. And the Hall's Hardy, what I've been planting is one called Mission, or Texas is the other name for it.
Uh-huh.
And the Hall's Hardy is the pollinator for the Mission.
Okay.
So if you plant the two, you'll be better off.
So you have to have a pollinator.
Not for the Halls.
Oh.
But for if you buy the Mission.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many almond trees do you have?
One, two,
three. Are they the same ones you've had the whole time?
There's three Missions and one Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because the first time I was ever at your garden was years ago. It has to be like 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, yeah, you just got these almond trees and they'd been in the ground for 5 years and they were huge.
Yeah. Yeah, they were
huge. Are those the same ones?
Yeah.
You're still working those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
How long does it take for them to start producing?
It's just like a peach tree.
Oh, I had some in my yard, and before they got the gooey stuff.
Gamosa.
It was almost like within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the gooey stuff?
Gamosa.
It's a disease.
Yeah.
Oh.
We've talked about it with Ron Godin a couple times.
Yeah,
it's
really
mainly
nasty.
In trees, fruit trees, peaches mainly.
Yeah.
So, Lulu, you don't have almond trees anymore?
No, they got the gamosa and I cut them down. And, you know, and plus, when I first started planting in my yard, I was a little bit overzealous. and it's actually a good thing that not all of them grew. Not everything that I planted grew.
Yeah.
The other thing that you could try is hazelnuts.
Oh, really?
Filberts. And if you have a shaded, more of a shaded area, because they're from the hardwood forest. And I've tried growing them and they came out too early and I realized that they were in full sun. So if you have more shade trees or something like that, and they're bushes, but they do need a pollinator. But, you could try filberts.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Lita.
Yeah,
great
thanks.
Question.
Awesome.
Good information.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Great. And, Robert was on the line, but he's going to give us a call back. But love the nut trees. I was in my neighbor's yard the other day and didn't realize it, but a giant walnut tree over there.
Yeah,
walnuts.
Like, what is
they
this
like the
fruit
deep soil?
Here?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
deep soil.
They do much better down in the river valleys than they do up on the mesas.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. In my neighborhood, there's one that we talked about it before. If I was ever going to build a tree house, that would be the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You could have a tree McMansion up there.
Right.
I mean, it's phenomenal.
Love old trees. Yeah. And I think it's interesting that where you can plant a peach tree, an almond tree will grow. That's an easy rule of thumb.
Yeah.
And
the climate conditions and the soil.
And I think that almonds are planted on the rootstock loll in our area.
And
that's what all of the peaches are grafted onto in this area also.
All right. Oh, Got it. That's interesting. Out there in Redvale, I think that's over by Norwood. Way out there.
Hush fell over the crowd. Yeah, it's down there somewhere.
It's on the other side of the listening area, coming in loud and clear. Hey, it's Robert on the line.
Nice.
Hi, Robert.
Robert.
Oh, Robert's not on the line.
I'm Dave.
Oh, is there someone on the line? Caller on the line?
Yeah, I'm Dave from Delta.
Oh, hi, Dave from Delta.
On my peppers, I get rot spots, not so much on the jalapenos, but on the other peppers. And what's that all about?
Pepper spots?
Yeah. I'd say it's sunburn.
I would, too.
Sunburn.
Shade them.
I do.
You do? We need some more information. What color are the spots? What are they?
They kind of like, almost like a bug chewed on them, except they're... just kind of starts to rot. I don't know.
Huh.
Is there a lot of foliage? Is there foliage touching them? Are they leaning up against each other or anything like that?
Yeah, then maybe they're pretty big. They do pretty well down here. And I put them in, I have them in raised beds with black cloth.
With black cloth underneath?
Mm-hmm.
Weed barrier?
Mm. Boy, they may just be too hot.
That's my thing. They're just too hot.
They're too hot.
Yeah.
Oh, a maybe I should cut the black stuff out.
Yeah. You said you're shading them. That's
that's good. That's the good news.
The jalapenos like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those southern ones. Are you talking like sweet peppers?
Yeah, Bell's and Anaheim's. And
mm-hmm.
Do you buy your seed from a reputable seed source?
Well, yeah, one of the local greenhouses.
You're buying plants.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have huge gardens. I think about that caller that talked about the 4x4 mm-hmm. garden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My beds, I got like, they're 5x3 or something. I got 4 or 5 of them.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Maybe it's just that they're too hot.
Yeah, you know, it might be, too, that they just,
The only other thing I could think of is
maybe too much water.
Too much water, and you have that mulch on there. That
I do water them a lot. I bet you that.
Yeah,
and they're not breathing as well as they should be.
Yeah, peppers,
they're healthy plants.
Right,
I mean, they like it, but
right, but the peppers themselves get funky.
Some of them.
Yeah,
some
of them are all right, and the ones that get funky, I pick them little and eat them.
Right, and then do the other peppers around them seem to be better in things like the so forth?
Yeah, some of them are all right. Like I said, the jalapenos dig
it. Jalapenos.
But I think maybe I'm overwatering them.
Yeah,
it could be that too. I don't grow a lot of peppers.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It's like cherry tomatoes. I can't live with.
Oh really?
Right?
Nice.
That a boy. I have a hard time eating peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I love the sweet bell peppers and things, and I grow them for my spaghetti sauce.
Yeah,
so. Anaheim's. I mean, you gotta like Anaheim.
Yeah, you're right.
Roasted pepper.
Yeah, salt. Well, you know, and chili relleno.
Mm. I like peppers. Anyway,
thank you, Dave.
Okay,
appreciate
the
question.
Call.
Yeah, hope
thanks, Dave.
Get your
you stumped the chunks.
A little stumpy. But, we've got Anthony in Paonia on the line.
Oh, cool.
Hi, Anthony. Are you still there?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't go off with Robert.
Okay, good. What's going on tonight?
I have to say to Lulu, isn't it a fact that Whitney Crenshaw is so brilliant? He used to teach our Boulder County Master Gardener course. I got his book, Pest of the West.
Yeah.
Everybody should read that.
Yeah,
it's
everybody.
Not a million pages long. It's not kind of super scientific. It's so helpful.
No, I'm sitting here with it right in front of me.
And
he's so if to everybody out there, if you get a chance ever to take a class with him, just do it.
Yeah, my younger son. I was going on about it to my younger son. He wanted to be whatever you call it, kind of insectologist for a long time. I forget what you call it.
Entomologist.
Anyway, that's right.
Okay.
But
no,
a bug guy.
So sorry, you mentioned the critters. Okay. So I've had 2 codling moths. So that was cool. But I want to go back to around, I think it was last week, saying about the my cool apple tree. I don't know if you saw it from the road. It is very nice. So cool, old and brilliant. But yellow, because it got majorly pruned last year by Alfonso. Alfonso did a cool job. But, so it's, what is that, a chelated? It's got an iron deficiency now. So is it okay to put the copper sulfate on now, or when should I do it?
Is it applied to in the ground?
Pardon?
Is it sprayed on or is it applied?
I don't know. I don't have any. That's what I'm asking. What should I get? Yeah. When should I do it?
Can you do copper sulfite now?
Yeah, I got that.
And how should you do it?
Yeah, how should you do it? You know, that one, I've never used it. I'd call up the Ron Godin at the Extension Service.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And ask him about that. Because I don't know if it's a foliar feed, you do it, you would. Could mix it in your sprayer and spray it in the early morning before it gets hot.
Right, right.
You know, if it's soil, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But they're two different applications or rates of application.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll call it. It's kind of an old tree. And my theory, I mean, I used to make a living landscaping over on the other side, is when we have a nice old tree, which it is, and it's been pretty well looked after for quite a long time, but not to try and get it to, like, be a, you know, racehorse in the next 6 months. and shock it back. I think you shock old trees like that.
Yeah, you want to go lightly if you do it.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen people that get into old trees and they fertilize and they do this and that and it just...
Yeah, they die.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks for the call,
yeah,
Anthony.
Good luck, Anthony.
Yeah. Bye. Hey, and we've got David on the line with a comment about walnut trees. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I live on Cedar Mesa, and we have black walnut trees up here. But we also, what grows well for walnuts are the Carpathian walnuts.
The Carpathian.
So okay. I think I have one tree that's probably 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then another one that I planted, so it's probably, you know, 15 years old or something like that. And we used to get the flowers used to freeze a lot. Now that the climate's changed a little bit, we get nuts more often, actually.
Nice.
The flowers are very sensitive to frost. So,
yes.
You know, I think even 34, you know, they might freeze.
Wow.
So anyway, but the great thing is you can get nuts pretty often. The downside is Carpathian walnuts are a labor of love to eat because they're not like a black walnut. They don't have as much fruit on the inside, and you really have to pick at it to get it out.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work to eat them, but they're delicious, absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but you get them.
Yeah, so, in fact, I'm looking out my window right now at my tree's covered.
Oh, that's great.
So,
nice.
Anyway, just right, wanted
thanks.
To let you know.
Thank you, David. Appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Good information there. And
right?
Love all the nuts hanging on the trees, the fruit, the apricots on the side of the road. Isn't that crazy in the
man.
North Fork? Wow.
Thinking of nut trees.
It smells so good.
One of the comments on nut trees is if you can find an almond tree, or not an almond, but an apricot where the pits are taste good, that's a nut.
Okay.
You crack them open in the nut. The white apricot I have, excellent. Tastes like an almond.
Ooh.
You don't need very many of them.
No.
But you can eat them.
And they're really strong anti-cancer medicine, the ones that have the laetrile in them.
Yeah.
There is that theory out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yada yada about that, but anyway.
Oh, it's great talking about food and talking about gardens. And thanks to Lita and Dave and Anthony and David for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Great information.
Yep. And it says here in Whitney's book, it's probably sunscald on the peppers.
Okay.
Sunscald.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good research
or
there,
Or
it Worm.
Could be Phytophthora wilt.
Oh.
But let's not even go there, okay?
Stick with the sunscald.
So just stick with the sunscald and probably a little too much water, and I think it'll...
Yeah.
I think you'll save the day.
All right. Great information. Thanks for filling everybody in, letting us know what's going on. And we'll be back next Tuesday at 6:30. It's going to be Tara coming up with One Woman's Perspective on KVNF. Good night, Worms. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for your calls.
Hang
it's
in
so
there.
Fun. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, plant some more.
Thanks for listening to KVNF.
Took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Lola.